Hello, everyone. So we are going to get started, and I want to kickstart off with just a couple of little announcements. Number one, which is the one I'm most excited about, is this is our last Tuesday night call, and I will tell you why. We got a ton of people just saying that they really loved Sundays with Corinne. A lot of you, please, for all my Christian people, don't take this the wrong way, but a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I just want to go to church with Corinne. In fact, somebody told me today, like, I want to hear the good word on Sundays when it comes to weight loss. So we are going to go back to Sundays. And that is going to start. It will not be this Sunday because Corinne's ass is going to be finally on vacation. I've been talking about the vacation. Vacation will be going down, but June 6th, we will move these calls and they will be at 1:00 PM Central Time on Sundays. I hope you guys love it. I think it'll be great for everyone. It's a good time. It's, you know, Sundays we can do some coaching. We can think about getting our shit straight for the week. We can like just do the things that we need to do to be ready for productive weeks. So that's exciting. And then if you go to nobswomen.com, you log in, if you go to the training calendar, you can see all of the amazing things we have planned for you in June. So we are going to be doing a 2.0 version of Thought Work. We're still kicking around the official title of it, but basically we're going to build off the momentum of talking about Basics 2.0 this month. And now what you're going to find is, all right, so what is like the easiest way to get this journaling thing done? Corinne's been telling me like all month long, like not only do these things, but it's my thinking. It is not what I'm doing. It's always like, I got to back it all up with my thinking. So we're going to do that in the month of June. We are going to be replacing a couple of the lessons inside of module 2 of NoBS, and we're adding a new lesson inside of there. So we're going to have you guys, we're going to give you a whole resource guide. We're going to give you all the information. All of it's going to be releasing next week for you guys. I think it's the end of next week is when we're going to be letting it all loose. And then we're going to start everything the week of. We'll all be starting. So next week, we're going to be wrapping up the basics and gearing up for Thought Work. And so all of it will be basically starting on June the 6th with me. Some of the other cool things that we're going to do next month that I'm super excited about is we are going to be moving my Facebook call that I normally do at 9 a.m. on Wednesdays with you guys. We're moving it to Zoom so that all calls now are going to happen on Zoom. So there, we don't have to worry about where is Corinne. It's always going to be on Zoom. So if you just go to the training calendar, if you pull up a date, the link to join the calls is always right there. So next month, we're going to be mixing things up a little bit. We are going to do some Zoom calls just like this, where it's me. This is what's going to be called the classroom style, where I'm teaching and I'm coaching. We're going to have some that are going to be meeting style. So if you've ever come to camp and you've seen the Brady Bunch screens where you're going to get to actually see some of the people, and if you want to turn your camera off, you can. No shame in that game. We're going to be having some meeting style things happen next month. So my Wednesday calls are going to be me doing Q&A around a very specific topic when it comes to our thinking and the Think, Feel, Do cycle. So we're going to spend 1 week talking about how do you switch a thought? So how do I let old shitty come in? And what is switching the thought? It means like I've identified one I'm currently thinking. This is what I could be thinking. Another week, we're going to spend time thinking about how do you like just say like, all right, that's obviously a busted thought. Like I have like looked at it. I've heard it. It's not true, but my brain just keeps saying it. And now I'm going to learn how to turn that down because there are better thoughts about, and this usually comes with our body or our lives. There are just better thoughts I could be thinking on. Like when it comes to my body, I can either sit around and think about like, I don't like the way my legs look, or I can be like, fuck that. Here's what I want to think. Girl, you got bitchin' hair. You got bitchin' arms. Like, you know, you wear lipstick like no other. Like we're going to talk about the concept of amplifying. And then we're going to do another week where we're going to do Q&A on Thought Work. And we're going to talk about using things like but, and what if. Like, how do we break the cycle of thinking, what if, like, I don't lose my weight? And it's like, so now we're going to ask another what if question. So we'll be doing a lot of like really introducing all kinds of ways to shift perspective. And then we're going to have co-planning or co-journaling calls, which a coach will lead. It will be where you will get to come and you will get to have meeting style call. And the coach is going to say like, all right, tonight we're going to journal on this topic. And then she's going to give you like three questions and you get to pick your poison. And then you're going to write for a few minutes. And then the coach is going to help you figure out what are the facts versus what are the thoughts. And they're going to be lifetime working with you so that everybody can be doing it together. And then we're going to identify like, all right, so when you think this thought, what's the feeling? We're going to help you guys really understand the think, feel, do cycle. And then we're going to bring people up and say like, all right, now when you think this and you feel this, what do you do? So that we can totally see all of that in action. And then we're going to help you come up with the new thinking. So it's going to be very workshoppy. By the end of it, you will have worked for a solid month on really good questions around your body, around like eating to enough or like the like all of the basics. And then we'll do some stuff on just your beliefs around your weight loss. And then we're also going to have a couple of other really good calls on, I'm adding a new call for all of you so that you have a day where we will spend about an hour to 2 hours doing monthly planning and assessments where it will be meeting style. I will be walking you guys through how to assess your month, how to really dig into your data. I will teach you how to set a new goal for the month, figure out and narrow down the one thing you're going to focus on. And then I will take people live time as fast as possible through, all right, here are all the ideas that we can do and what's going to be the thinking that backs it up. So we're going to start doing that each month for a little while, just to give you guys some really tangible things. And that's not everything, but that's a good bit. And I just wanted to let you guys know the thought train is arriving. Toot, toot. Let it pull on in. All right. If you are getting coached tonight, you go ahead and raise your hand. These are people who were pre-selected to get coached. Let me pull up my list. I've got Danielle Connor. I hadn't heard you in a long time. Trisha, Jennifer, Christina, and Angela. Who's here? All right. Is it Danielle Elise? Are you my Danielle Connor? Just want to make sure. Danielle Elise, will you just type in the chat if that's who you are? Let's go ahead and go with Trisha. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I'll call on you next, Danielle. Anyone call the wrong person? Everybody get pissed at me. Only nobody pissed at me. I've had a good day. No one's been mad at me all day. All right, let's get you unmuted and get your video on. So I hope you guys are excited. Y'all need to let me know in the chat if you're excited about this stuff. We've been working real hard on all this. All right, we got to get you unmuted. Trisha, we can't hear a word you're saying. You got to unmute yourself. There you
can you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but your internet is like bugging bad.
Yeah, that's why I asked to go last because I'm.
Oh, I didn't realize. All right, I can call on you. I didn't realize you were the last person. I'll move you down and then I'll call on you last.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Bye bye.
Danielle, you're up. Sorry about that, guys. In fact, Emily let me know this and I just totally forgot. All right, lady. What are we talking about?
Dating.
Okay. let's get our groove on, as they say. What do you want to know about dating?
Oh,
I've been doing it in a long time, so I don't have too much advice.
Well, so I was at camp and I heard you say about, you know, don't give up. And so when I heard you say that, it just made me think. I hadn't really been thinking about it and I've just kind of put it on the back burner. And then when I started to think about it, just the thoughts I had about it weren't particularly helpful. I think what I wrote in my little thing was, I feel like I'm too old, too inexperienced, and too fat to find the right person.
Okay. So that's what your brain automatically offered up, which for those of you who don't know, I've been coaching this lady for a long time. Are we really shocked that's where your brain wants to go first?
No.
No. So knowing that your brain loves to go to like, here's all the things that are wrong with you. This is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. Why listen to it? Like, how much have you told yourself, like, well, here's all the reasons to do it?
Not any.
Or are we just like, I'm just going to believe my brain. Fat and old and inexperienced. That sounds real good.
I guess in this particular instance, I just decided to use what my brain threw at me. Whereas I've been working on other stuff that, my brain throws up stuff about self-worth or giving up on weight loss or, how my family feels about me or, you know, like those kinds of things. I've done the work. So, when I have certain thoughts, I have the practice of saying, hey, no, this is what reality, you know, like what reality is or how I want.
What is the reality? Like, I want you to do that now. Like, what is the reality about dating?
I guess I don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know. Well, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen, but let's pretend we could know.
I guess like anything new, it's not going to be easy right away.
Oh my gosh. Of all the things, that's where like reality is, it won't be easy. Brain is like locked and loaded on like dating is a terrible idea. Like, I don't want to have one positive thought. Let me help you.
Okay.
The reality is, are there women of your, let me just ask you this. Are there women of your size who are dating?
Mm-hmm.
So you could tell your brain that like, no, you're wrong. There are women of all sizes who date every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Are there, how old are you?
40.
Like 94? Like, I've got my husband's stepmom, her father, the last time he got remarried was when he was 90. And he married an 87-year-old woman. So it's like, those who won't will do.
Right.
It's like you could just say there are people out there of all ages who date. I mean, there obviously are, because there are dating apps for people much older than you.
Right.
Because they're out there dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's a matter of, with you, Danielle, it's, you've got to stretch your brain to believe more than what you just automatically think.
Okay.
And I think you're like, you need to stretch it more often. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? I'm old. Oh, inexperienced.
Inexperienced. Yes.
Okay. Like, I just got through telling someone in the maintenance call, mm-hmm. it's like, so what? Like, if you lose all of your weight, why sit around and think, well, I've never kept it off?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you might be somebody's dream come true, because you won't be full of head drama. You won't have dated so many people that you have like a manual 45 pages long just to get in the front door.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. Your inexperience could be like an amazing thing to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, like, why do you think your brain is so like hosed up on this? Does it just,
I guess. Well, I always thought of like that if I could find the right person, then I would be, it would show like the world that I was worth something. And so it's not just finding the right, it's not just, oh, going on a couple dates or seeing what it's like or, you know, experimenting with something, but the idea that if I don't find the person, then, you know, it means I'm not worth anything, I guess. And even just saying those words, I think, you know, like I've done a lot of work on my self-worth. So, but when it comes to actually trying to date, that's just all still mixed up.
Well, I just think that's good to know. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just like one more opportunity for you to shore up your self-worth. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, even when you said it out loud, you could kind of tell, like, as you were saying, it's like, well, I can see where that's, like, I can see that my brain went there, but I can also see that that's, like, a ridiculous assumption to make. That if I have a man or I have a woman, whoever, like whatever you want, that now the world will see my worth. It's like, no, you know what the world will see? Oh, you have a mate. You know.
Right.
And it's a good indicator for you. It's like, I still have some work to do on, you know, really figuring out why I value me so much. Mm-hmm. Because if you really value you, it will be so much easier. It won't mean that your brain won't say things like, you know, you're fat and inexperienced and old. Mm-hmm. It means that when it says it, like you'll transcend from hearing it being like, oh God, I shouldn't date. Oh my God, I just found all these terrible thoughts. You'll go, yeah, I can see why my brain would say that, but here's what's true. Here's what I've been working on. Here's what I know about me.
Right.
And you like, you coax that brain into like, it's okay to think those things. We're just like, we're also going to be thinking these because this is more of who we really are and who we want to believe we are.
Okay.
I think that your brain's acting very normal.
Mm-hmm.
You're wanting to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know, when it's very normal, when you are really working on your self-love, it would make sense to find love. Like you're probably working on things to a level of where you're like, oh, maybe I've been holding myself back here.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain's like, well, this is going to be risky.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just where you get the opportunity to be like, and I'm ready for it. I've been doing this thought work for a long time. I know that whatever happens in dating world, men and women will either say yes or no to me.
Uh-huh.
And then I will have a thought about it.
Okay.
And my default thought might be this. And I'm also going to remember this over here. And that's how you go through it.
Okay.
And just remember that if somebody is rejecting you, mm-hmm. like if they say, like, you know, you are too inexperienced. You know, I don't know. You seem like an old hag. Like whatever they say, it has nothing to do with you. And that's what you have to remember is that when people say no, they're not rejecting us. They're saying, this is what I want. And like, you get to decide, like, I am not a good fit for them. And that's really good because I don't want to be someone I'm not.
Okay.
What do you think? Which are you going to do an app?
Probably.
Which one?
I don't know. I, well, I guess, gosh, years and years ago, I used eHarmony, and I liked that one. I also tried Match, but I didn't really like that one as much. With eHarmony, I had a lot of fun until they actually wanted to, like, meet in person or talk on the phone. I was like, and then I just, yeah, got really, felt shy and, I don't know, weird and.
Well, and that's where, so for this time, you want to prepare ahead for that. Mm-hmm. To say, like, all right, so when they want to meet me in person, I'm likely to feel very uncomfortable because my brain is going to offer whatever it offers. Mm-hmm. And I also want to remember these things. I think it'll be really good for you. Mm-hmm. And like the worst, like literally all of you, the worst that happens is someone is like, fuck this. This is not the right thing for me. Mm-hmm. They can be a hard no for you. It's a really good opportunity for you to decide, are you going to be a no to you also? Which means I'm going to make it mean something personal. I'm going to make their opinion now be my opinion of myself. I must not be good enough.
Sure.
You know, when you were starting to, when you were saying like the rest of the world would see me as worthy, mm-hmm. you know that if somebody says no to you, your tendency is going to be to go to a lot of very unworthy thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're saying. It's so funny. I'm working on some similar stuff on my own with this about just some different things about wanting, you know, needing people to see me a certain way so that I can see me a certain way. It's really good growth for both of us to be like, all right, I'm going to put myself out there and really start defining my own worthiness myself. The best way to do it and the fastest way to do it is to like put yourself in these situations that you normally wouldn't. And it's like, okay, so the real practice is when I'm on my way home, you know, if it works out, I don't want to say, thank God they liked me.
Okay.
You want to say like, of course they liked me.
Uh-huh.
Because of these reasons. And like you celebrate yourself. Same thing as if they don't like you. Okay. And say, of course they didn't like me because I'm not their cup of tea. And that's good for me to know because I never want to try to be someone I'm not. My person is out there, but I like these things about me. Uh-huh. It's just a really good opportunity to reinforce your own self concept. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You'll have to keep us posted. Are you in that single ladies group?
I am.
Yeah, you gotta like tag me. I want to know what's going on. I live vicariously through all of you. Sometimes I wish I could date now. I think I would just be hard to handle. I'd just be like, first time in my life is like, you need to check my boxes, mister. You could just see me walking in like a baller now and just be like, peace out. I'm out. I don't like you. But you can be the same. Like, remember when you go.
Mm-hmm.
This person, like, you're not trying to meet their expectations. They need to be meeting yours. So don't go in there all like, have no self-worth stuff.
Okay.
Go in remembering, like, I'm amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like, do your work ahead of time. Why you are so amazing. Why somebody would be so fucking lucky to even have you. And really fall in love with yourself. And so then when you go, if somebody's not the right fit,
uh-huh.
like, you automatically know. Okay. You're not waiting on them to decide if you are the right fit. You know?
Okay.
All right. Get in there, Tiger. All righty. Bye. I tell you what, I would be amazing on a, like, I just want to go out on a date for fun now, just to be like, yeah, no, you're a no. just to do it. All right. Jennifer. I would be terrible Hello. Hello. What are we coaching on?
So I have, my husband and I were separated a couple of years ago. He was drinking. So, I told him he had to leave. He's okay. Come back. And he's pretty much been sober for the last year. He's doing great. He's the perfect husband, you know, but I'm still holding back or something. I don't really know. Kind of one thing that really happened this past month was that his band went and did a little recording, and so they were all in another city, and I just thought, this is it. This is when he's going to fail, and it's all going to come crashing down, and it didn't. He did great. He was perfect, mm-hmm. and, you know, I just don't really know why I'm being so hard on him. Like,
oh, you do know. Like, you have a brain. Your brain is just trying to hedge its bets. It's like, it's doing what every brain does. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to wait for the shoe to drop. And I'm just going to imagine this is what our brains do, like in weight mm-hmm. loss and everything. It's like, all right, I need to be certain of what's going to happen. So rather than going to the future and like assuming, I bet he's got his shit together. I bet this is the time, like just feeling good through it, right? We're like, well, let me go back to the past where it was wretched so that today I can sit around and feel really wretched just in case shit goes bad.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this? When your husband was on the road doing his like mm-hmm. music and everything, mm-hmm. and you spent all that time like, this is it. I just know it. This is the time. And you felt bad. Then he comes home and he's like, hey, everything's great. No drinking. Mm-hmm. Yay, me. And everything. You're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And then you got to self-loathe over how you didn't have any kind of like faith in him.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there I was like just expecting him to do bad. I mean, why would I expect him to do bad?
Because that's what our brains do. Like, because you didn't channel your brain to think something different. That's the only reason. Yeah. It is not because it's like, let me just tell all of you, your brains, especially because I want you to think about this. When your marriage broke up and he was drinking all this other stuff, to your brain, it assumes until you prove it wrong that the marriage is now dangerous. It's like, oh, remember all that hurt? Don't you remember all those nights we were crying? Don't you remember like us worrying we'd never get together? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like your brain is like scared and it hates being scared. So it's going to do things and act like a little donkey, but that's the habit brain. That's its job. Otherwise, what would happen is, you know, it would just like take him back 500 times. Like, oh, I'm always going to hope for the best. I'm never going to like, blah, blah. You want your brain to be a little on the skeptical side. Otherwise, like none of us would have any kind of filters for things. Just like your habit brain, it was really useful when he was drinking. It kind of drew the line in the sand, said we need to break up, we need to do these things. Like you wanted your habit brain to be afraid that the marriage wasn't going to work out. Well, now he's back. Things look pretty good. It's been a year. Now what you want to do is you want to calm your habit brain down. It still thinks you're in danger. And so now it's issuing dangerous thoughts. Like you should worry. You should really doubt him. You should really like make sure that you spend a few days miserable just in case. Mm-hmm. It's very useless though, because you could have spent those few days trusting, not worried, whatever. And then he comes home and whatever happened, happened. Because here's the thing, whether he came back home and he had been like face down in a liquor bottle the whole time, or this is what happened. You worrying didn't make the outcome different. Your skepticism, your all of that anxiety didn't change any of that. But had you just decided, I'm just going to believe in him for my own sake. So that when he's gone, I'm not worked up. And then if he comes back and everything's great, I'm getting to live the best life. And if he comes home and he's been drinking, I also know what I'm going to do too. So my worries are very unfounded. So what you want to do is you want to know that so that when he's gone and your brain is just like, old shitty, old shitty, old shitty, you're just like, eh, no, we're going to turn up what we want to believe. I think I really want to believe that he's down there recording an album. I really want to believe right now my worry is useless. I believe he's got his shit together. And then go through and show yourself, here's reasons why I can believe he has his shit together. You already have a stack of evidence that say, like, yeah, it would be easy to believe he doesn't. But now start giving yourself something where, like, it's also easy to believe he does.
Yeah. And that has been a thought that I've been working on, is, like, he's proving himself to be trustworthy. You know, he's doing the right things. I just really also just beat myself up so much. I think whenever he came back and he was doing good, and like, you know, about the thoughts that I was having about him, you know.
That part, that is just the bullshit you have to stop.
Yeah.
Like there's, like, I've already told you, your brain is behaving very normally. Your brain is doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like you sitting there and like, it's like, not only am I going to doubt him and everything, but then I'm going to like tear myself apart for even doing it. It's like, I want you to be thinking about, if this was going to be easy, what would I believe about him? And what would I also believe about me in the moments that my brain has normal thinking?
Not being overly critical isn't necessarily what, maybe it's not that I'm being, you know, so critical on him. Maybe it's just, this is kind of what I've, the habit that I have of what I've been thinking, and I'm just need to change that.
Yeah.
Versus, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like whenever I get all, like janked up about, like I'll think things about Logan sometimes, and I can either sit there and throw my mother self under the bus. Like, you shouldn't think those things about your own son. You shouldn't, like, blah, 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 blah. Then I'm just suffering for the sake of suffering. There's no benefit to beating yourself up over the thoughts that are just living in the background of your brain that haven't had a chance to come to light enough for you to untrain them. That's all that's happening. I mean, every single one of you have 60,000 thoughts a day. You only hear 3,000 of them. 57,000 thoughts are just living in the background, talking away. And what happens is that as you uncover some and you get better at listening and you change a few, guess what? The next 10 pop up. You will have a lifetime endless supply of shitty thoughts to work on. They're never going away. Do I?
Yeah. I said yay.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, it's like, it doesn't feel bad if you're not beating yourself up over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can like fix that part pretty quick. And once you get to where you don't beat yourself up over your thinking, where it's like, oh yeah, I heard myself saying that. It's not that bad. Like, I just need to think about this, whatever. It becomes so nonchalant. It becomes so nothing burger. But what we do is we suffer so hard. It's like, Corinne, not only did I spend days doubting him and blah, blah, blah. I don't even understand why my brain does it. But then I just feel like shit for even being the kind of person who does it. I mean, that's a hard fucking life right there. And that's our own creation. So like the first part is always drop judgment first, judgment of self. Get out of the habit of that. And then you're just listening for thoughts that you're like, yeah, I probably could spend 3 days while he's gone just telling myself, here's all the reasons to believe and trust in him. When my brain wants to not do it, I just tell it. But here's also really good reasons. Here's why those worries aren't going to help anything. I'm just going to assume he's going to come home just like he left. Yeah. And if he doesn't, I know what to do. And then it becomes very effortless. It's not dramatic.
Yeah.
But it just takes practice. You just got to listen more and be willing to change it.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you. Your
brain.
Yes.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's see. I got Danielle. I got Jennifer. Christina. For all of you that do a lot of that worrying, one of the things that we taught at camp and that we've taught several times is allow yourself, like when you have a topic where your brain really wants to obsess on worry, is make a list of your worries. So you just write all your worries down so that your brain can have its little field day, so that it feels like when you write it down, it feels like it's done something. Our brains are meant to be processors of information, not containers. Worries are like trying to contain it. A brain is not good at containing. So when you put it on paper, you process it. And then the next thing you do is you look at your list and you notice like, all right, so what is in my control? And you write like this is in my control. I could think this, I could do this, this one thing, like whatever it is. And then you take, like, if there's something that you can do, you actually write, and here's the one thing I could do. It helps your brain get over a lot of worry, but just seeing your worries and being like, okay, is this how I really want to be thinking about this situation? Is there anything else I could be thinking? Is super helpful. All right. Let's go, Christina.
All right. Long-term lurker, first-time participant. Pretty excited. I got the green light for weight loss surgery. Okay. And it's been a really fast process. I was expecting, you know, that I'd have to have the diet, you know, this 6-month deal. And it happened in about 3 weeks' time. I don't have to do all that stuff. So I was thinking, you know, I'm going to have time to like mentally prepare for it. And I don't have that. So, I could postpone the surgery, but I don't want to do that. I'm ready.
But that's an awful thought. I don't have enough time to mentally prepare for it. We are always like, I want everyone to hear this word when I say, or this sentence when I say it. You are one thought away from being prepared.
Sure.
So you don't need like 6 months or 40,000 thought downloads. You don't need all of that. Like when we think about, I just don't have enough time to mentally prepare, you're already feeling under the gun. Not a helpful thought. It's much better to think like, I bet there's only a few thoughts standing in my way. I'm going to knock that shit out. I'm going to tell myself how to think.
You make it sound so easy.
It is. The problem is you guys want to say like, but that's hard, Corinne. It's like another shitty thought. Never helps when you think the process is hard.
Fair.
It's like, let me just show you what it's going to look like. You see this piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write down said shitty thoughts about weight loss surgery. Like you could even start it with how I'm unprepared mentally. And you just list them. Now you actually have the list and you're like, oh, I know exactly what to mentally prepare for.
Sure.
Like, tell me one of these. Go ahead. You finish.
Well, I think I vacillated a little bit between whether or not to move forward with the surgery or not. But I feel, I was one of the Weight Watchers girls. I've been the bigger girl my entire life, except for about a 2-week span when I got married and I got down to my goal weight for about 5 minutes and then it all came right back. But I feel at this point, it's a shitty thought, but I've kind of felt like helpless. Like I can't get out of my own way. So like I did the camp and the self-sabotage, and that was super helpful. Helped me to identify some of those things that I've unconsciously been doing.
The thought, I can't get out of my own way.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's been my mantra. And so I'm trying to work on not thinking that, obviously.
Yeah. Cause if all you do is you think I can't get out of my own way, then you hyper focus on every way that you're a failure in life. Mm-hmm. You filter out anything that you do right, or everything that you do that's actually good is like, yeah, but it's not good enough. And here's why, or that's not going to be enough. And here's why. That's why that thought is like one that to really look at.
Okay. Yeah. And that's something that is very true for me. Like I am super hard on myself. I run my business. I hold myself to expectations and the client expectations that don't exist, but I think to me that they have to, that I have to do things a certain way. And that trickles in to where I end up putting all of my energy into my business to the detriment of, you know, I'm not as present with my family. I'm not taking care of myself, any of those things. And so,
weight loss surgery won't fix any of that.
No, right? I know. Right.
They're not doing a lobotomy too, right?
No, I don't think so.
Like, hey, why are you in my stomach? And you just like drill in my head and take out that part of me that's like a perfectionist.
Right. But one of the things that I did realize in the at camp was one of my biggest hurdle is the getting stuck before I start. You know, I make all like in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I do all of those things, but then I don't ever actually hit play. And so I guess I'm trying to look at this upcoming surgery and all of my trepidations and you know, what ifs as it's a good jumpstart to get me past that initial hurdle of not starting. Cause it's like, once they go in there on the 7th, you know, that's it started, you know, and it's just like, at that point I have to, and I think that's where my brain needs to catch up to the process being started, if that makes sense. You know, it's like, I just always put things off, but I can't once it happens.
But this is the only thing it's solving is they're going to surgically alter you to where you can't eat. That's not going to make you push play on videos. That's not going to make you quit being hard on yourself. That's not going to keep you from having unrealistic expectations. It's not going to make you unwind years and years of thinking about yourself that's self-loathing. Just because I want you to think about this. I don't think it's useful for you. I don't care if you have weight loss surgery or not. I don't think it's good or bad. I really don't. It's just the action. And right now you're going to be taking action from like, I don't think I can do it on my own. So I'm going to have them do it for me. But it's not going to solve the things you actually want solved.
Right.
Like if you're hard on yourself, you'll be hard on you'll be wondering if you're eating the right foods. You'll be wondering if you'll be able to keep your weight off. You'll be wondering, are you going to be one of the people that has weight loss surgery and still ends up gaining their weight back? You'll be wondering what you're like, I bet my body won't look the way that I think it should. Like none of that changes. Right. Thought work changes that. But just because they operate on your stomach, you start losing weight doesn't mean that you're going to change your self-concept.
Yeah.
Because I highly doubt this is what's going to happen, that you end up weighing what you want to weigh and just be like, you know what? All these clients of mine in my business, fuck them and their and my false expectations. They're not going to roll the way I want because I'm thin. Is that going to happen?
As much as I wish it would, it won't.
We all wish we would. We all have delusions that we're going to lose our weight. We're going to walk into the office one day and our boss is going to be like, oh my God, you lost your weight. You get extra vacation now. I'm not going to overwork you anymore.
Right. I think that I'm struggling with just doing the thought work.
Why. Just give me like your honest reasons why you're struggling with the thought work.
I think I'm afraid of what I'm going to find when I do a deep dig and really start looking internally.
But what is down in there? I want you to really think about this question.
Nothing.
Right. You need to tell yourself there's really nothing down there. The only thing down when I dig in, the only thing I'm going to be finding is sentence after sentence that needs an autocorrect.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, I want all of you to think about this. When you're digging into your brain, you know how like when we type and we get the squiggly line? Mm-hmm. Thought work is about figuring out where are all my squiggly lines so that I can fix those things. I don't want a lot of misspellings in my brain. And I don't want a lot of sentences that don't make sense because that's what I've got right now. Your thinking is no reflection on the kind of person you are. Okay. Brains just over the years, they will hear something and interpret it. And say like, all right, let's think this for the next 30 years. This makes sense, even though I'm only 12. It will see things, it will hear friends make innocent comments about like, they'll be commenting on their body. And then you'll like say, oh, it's normal to like pull our bodies apart. Like as women, we hear people, we hear women especially constantly turn down compliments, minimize themselves. Say, well, I know you think I did a good job, but you should have seen me the other day. We do this. And when we see this happening around us, it's normal that our brain thinks you're supposed to not think very well of yourself. Like everybody else is doing it. That must be what we're supposed to do, because brains look around, they see what everybody else is doing. And they're like, okay, to fit in, we need to kind of like do what the rest of the group's doing. That has, like, all of you, that does not make you broken. It does not make you less than. It doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. Most of you are just the walking wounded right now. You won't look at the obvious problem. So you want to go have surgery or, you know, start keto or what, like, even in my program, you'll come to my program to lose weight, to solve a problem that's just sentences in your brain. No more than that.
Okay.
I don't know if you should postpone or not, but I definitely do not want you having surgery thinking, this is what will make me start doing things. I'll be forced to. I want you to think about that thought for a second. If I have surgery, I'll be forced to start. How does that feel?
Like I'm not in control and crappy.
Yeah. Probably like incompetent.
Yeah.
Not how we want to go into surgery. Because if you carry that thought with you, then you're going to need to create more incompetence and out of control thinking after surgery. And you will find it in your life.
I'm good.
And like the thing that here's what I don't like about surgery for a lot of people. I'm not saying don't have surgery. I mean, I've got one of my team members who lost a ton of weight, had surgery. She did her thought work along the way. Mm-hmm. Is I don't want you guys doing something like that. And then keeping like you take away the food, which is right now the only sense of comfort you're getting. Because if you can't give it to yourself in your words, in your thinking, you're probably giving yourself to yourself with your food. And now we're going to take that away and we're not even going to replace it with any kind of thinking. You're just going to be left with how you think and feel and no way to cope. So I would rather see you figure out ways right now, like making that list of what surgery won't solve and what I want to solve for me.
Right.
What are those thoughts that surgery can't solve? And let me work on those things. Because if you do decide to go forward with it, you can be working on this along the way. I just don't want you to having that, what I would call drastic thought of, this will make me do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so. Putting it that way makes a lot of sense and it's helpful.
No shame in our thinking. None of you. Women have to quit being so ashamed of every fucking thing. We have so little to actually be ashamed over. Like, if I'm going to be ashamed, I better have done something better than just like eat a burger. Like, let's make it a good one. Like, maybe I went and punched my neighbor who like runs his lawnmower every time I do a call. Then I'm like, that's worthy shame.
Fair.
All right. Okay. Thanks. All right. Keep us posted on what happens. If you can either post it in the camp group or wherever you want, but just keep us posted on, and like reach out for help too. Unwind your, if you get stuck, don't sit there and be like, I suck at thought work. I knew it would be hard. No, don't allow your brain to like do all of that. Ask coaches, go to the camp group, go to the Facebook group. There's plenty of places to get help. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Angela, are you here? Angela and Trisha are the two that I'm looking for who signed up. I don't know what happened to Trisha. She was here. Where are we at? Well, let's see if there's any questions. There's a few questions. Let me answer that. Guys, if whoever's on my team, whoever's in the chat, if you see Angela or Trisha, let them know. Can you please talk about how if someone rejects you, it's about them and not about me specifically? Yeah. So when someone says no to you or says like, I don't want to date you, I don't want to be with you, I don't want to talk to you or whatever, what most of us do is we make it a me problem. So you've heard me talk about this on the scale before. So a lot of times when you weigh in, you get a number and it's like, ugh, this is like, I suck. I'm terrible. Same thing that happens when, let's say you go out on dates or you're going to go like, say it's Memorial Day weekend and you're going to see your family that you haven't seen in a while. And somebody's like, hey, like, you know, I never liked you in the family before. I'm so sad. COVID's over, you know, whatever it is. What most of us do is we take that as an opportunity to be like, to reinforce crappy things we think about ourselves. So we will say something like, you know, I do suck. Or see, I'm like what Daniel was saying. I knew I was too fat, old, and inexperienced to ever get a partner or whatever. Rather than in those moments, just because someone doesn't like you or doesn't whatever, in those moments, you get to decide if you are going to self-loathe or if you were going to say, like, I'm really glad this didn't work out because I don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me. Like, that's an optional line of thinking. Or the option is, I'll never find anyone. I knew all this shit that I've been thinking about myself is true. So that's what I mean by the rejection. I start strong with weight loss things. And then once I hit around 20 pounds, I always in the past have stopped and gained all the weight plus some. How can I start and stay productive with the weight loss? I have a lot of weight to lose. I am tired of failing every time. I need some help starting and not giving up after a small amount of success. So we covered a lot of this in ending self-sabotage. So here's what I would do for everybody who knows, like, all right, when I hit this point, I would think about, all right, when I hit 20 pounds, what thinking changes for me? So when I first start, make a list of this is what I'm thinking that leads to excitement. So for all of you who relate to this, you've got to be doing think, feel, do cycles and journaling. The answer is in your thinking. The answer is not in doubling down on like, let me just grit through this. You've got to unwind what happens during that first 20 pounds. How am I talking to myself? So there's going to be a lot of thoughts that are probably like exciting or whatever, like, you know, ooh, like I'm, it's go time. I'm ready to get this. So there will be that. And then there might be some thoughts, and I would look for these, like, all right, so when I make my plans, and it doesn't matter what you put on the plans, you could put straight up broccoli for three meals, or you can put four Whoppers. I don't really give a damn what you put on there. What are you telling yourself about the plan? Are you like, this is amazing. I can't wait to eat this. This looks like a plan I could do for the rest of my life. Or are you saying things like, well, since I'm high on motivation, I'm going to eat these things because I know I should. Like, you've got to look for those thoughts. And then when you're waiting for hunger, are you sitting there telling yourself, well, don't eat. It's in the beginning stages. We really shouldn't be eating. Are you saying a lot of should and shouldn'ts? Or are you saying things like, I'm really glad that I'm waiting for hunger. Are you saying things like, I'm willing to wait for hunger? When it comes to enough, are you telling yourself things like, you shouldn't eat anymore? Like, that first 20 pounds, really listen to the kinds of conversations you're having in your head. How do you talk about your food choices? How do you talk about the weekends? Like, when you weigh in, you'll be like, okay, I got lucky. The reason why I say this is because what happens a lot of times is the way you're talking to yourself during that time, if it's full of pressure and force, making yourself do stuff, even though you may be excited because it's brand new, a lot of you can be like, all right, we're going to do this. And you can be in militant mode for a little bit, but there's wear and tear that comes along for the ride. You're not really listening to your thinking. You're just like, see, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but you don't know the energy going in behind it. Then after about 20 pounds, when you start feeling a little bit better, guess what you want to do? You want to take the foot off the gas just a little bit. It's like, well, I've been working so hard. Like, I just need a break. I just need a little break. Anybody that's sitting around saying, I just need a break, means that they have got a lot of shit-tastic diet thinking coming along for the ride all week long. How are you talking to yourself? Really write down every single day, what are my thoughts about my plan? What are my thoughts about the food? And be honest. Don't sit there and write what you think you should be thinking. Write what your brain is actually thinking. It doesn't matter. Like, guys, it's so much better to see what you're actually thinking, the God's honest truth, because you can be like, oh, no wonder by Friday I need a break. Because all week long, all I'm telling myself is what I should eat, what I can't eat, and I really hope I don't fuck up the weekend. Like, we have to, like, you've got to prioritize doing this thinking work, because you cannot lose weight without changing your brain. Otherwise, if you're going to talk to yourself like a militant asshole, and let's say you get to 40 pounds, at some point we all wear out. We don't want to be talked down to. We do not want to be yelled at all the time. Like, most of you will sit here and say, like, if my partner or boss yelled at me all the time and talked down to me all the time, you'd be coming in here and you'd be complaining about, tell me how to quit. Like, I just need to quit. I need to get out of here. Here's what you guys do. You try to talk down to yourself and say, like, tell me how do I do more of that? Like, how do I just, like, sit there and take it? We have to stop doing that part. Did we ever get our other two? I'm looking for Trisha and Angela. If y'all are here, raise your hand. Trisha, it looks like you're here. If you'll go ahead and raise your hand, I can call on you. All right, last thing. What do you do when you know you can't reach your goal? Do you just try to get as close as possible or revise the goal? Depends on the reason why you can't. Like, if it's physically impossible or a doctor has told you it's a no. Like, if there's a reason, like, specific to that, I'd just be like, all right, no harm, no foul. Here's the new goal. Like, I just wouldn't make a big fucking deal out of it. But you need to really examine why you think you can't reach your goal. Write your thoughts down around it and then question them. Is this really true? Or is this just me being afraid to keep going? Is this me thinking it's going to be too hard? Is it me, like, I keep thinking the last 10 are going to be miserable and be full of discomfort versus me thinking the last 10 might not be as big a deal. I wonder what's a little thing that I could try this week. Here's the thing, like, on those last 10 or 20 pounds, it's like, just try shit. What's the harm? It's either going to come off or it's not. I'd rather go out trying than go out, like, being assuming the worst that I can't do it. So that's just a couple things to think about. All right. It looks like our last two aren't here. And since we've been going an hour, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Oh, that's a different Trisha. Okay. I see. All right. I will see everybody in the morning, 9 a.m. Central Time. We are going to do the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So bring whatever it is. Like, I always prefer you guys to bring a food that you really enjoy, but you also tend to overeat and think you have no control over. And yes, we are going to be doing it at 9 a.m. in the morning. And I have a big reason why we're going to be doing it. And I will unveil it tomorrow morning when we do it. It will be on Facebook. So remember, this is one of the last I think this is the last Facebook. The only time I'll be going live on Facebook anymore is going to be if I'm doing a surprise live, because I can't alert you on Zoom, but I can pop into the Facebook group sometimes. I may do some of that, but we are going to start doing everything in Zoom because it's always reliable, unlike the Facebook. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.